This week's parsha is Parsha Shmos. And in Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu begins his career. However, the career takes a little bit of a nosedive and a flip and backwards flip, one step forward, two steps back. And I think that this very unusual beginning to Moshe Rabbeinu's career is something that deserves our attention and really some introspection as well. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Meaning the idea that I find complicated. Moshe Rabbeinu, somehow, in a way that we don't fully understand, we don't know the details, knows that he's Jewish. He's raised by the daughter of Paro, but he knows that he's Jewish. And very early on, after he is already now a young man, he tries to do the right thing by his brethren. When he notices an Egyptian taskmaster beating up on a fellow Jew, he kills the taskmaster. And then the next day, when he sees two Jews fighting with one another, he tries to break up the fight, to stop the fight. Lama Rasha Saka Israyacha. Why, O wicked one, do you strike your fellow? And when he says this, why do you strike your fellow? The Jew responds back to him, who do you think you are? You're not the boss of us. Do you think you're going to kill us the way that you killed that Egyptian? And then Moshe says, the matter is known. Paro found out about it, tried to kill Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu escapes, and he goes to Midian. And I'm not telling you anything new, but just bear with me for a moment. When he goes to Midian, he finds another injustice going on. There are daughters of the leader of Midian, who we now know, of course, as Yisro, who are trying to give water to their flocks. And these other shepherds come and start harassing them. Moshe Rabbeinu gets rid of the harassing shepherds and actually gives the flocks remaining of the daughters of Yisro, gives them water. When the daughters go home, their father, according to Rashi, their grandfather, Reuel, says, why did you leave him behind? Bring him here so that he can eat bread. And the very next words in Chumash are, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to stay with the man, and the man gave him Tzipporah, his daughter, and then he had a son. All while this is happening with Moshe, the lives of the Jews in Egypt are getting worse and worse. Even though Pharaoh dies, their lives, the lives of the Jews, get worse, until Hashem finally hears their outcry. Now, as we know, Hashem is now going to have to convince Moshe Rabbeinu to come back and to be the leader. Most of us associate the conversation that takes place between Hashem and Moshe, that Hashem is trying to convince Moshe to please take the job, as a sign of Moshe's humility. However, I'd like to suggest maybe another way of looking at it. Think about what just happened. We have three stories of Moshe Rabbeinu helping people. The first story, he helps a fellow Jew. The second story, where he tries again to help a fellow Jew from getting beaten up by a Jew, not only does he get grief for it from the people he's trying to help, they turn him in for the first incident where he saved a Jew's life. So here he is. He tried twice to help his fellow Jews. The second time that he tried to help, sabotaged his first attempt. And then he runs away. And what does he do? He doesn't give up helping people. He goes to Midian and he helps people there. What happens as a result of his helping people in Midian? He gets a family out of it. He gets to start his life over again. He gets married. He has a child. He's staying with somebody, a family that has taken him in and cares about him. So what's going to happen next? Hashem is going to say, go back to Mitzrayim. One could imagine, just on a very human level, even though I understand Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets, just imagine on a human level, just for a moment. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu would say, why should I go there? I help people there, they turn me in, they report me, and I almost get killed. I help people here, I get the best life. So that conversation is for tomorrow. However, the conversation for today, where we find Moshe Rabbeinu in this jam and where he escapes to Midian, is that, for heaven's sakes, can we make it easy for people to help us? I know there's this line from a movie, help me help you. Help me help you. And what Moshe Rabbeinu wants desperately is he wants Klal Yisrael to help him help them. But Jews don't do that so easily. It's a difficult sell. But in Midian, they were willing to let him help them. They helped him help them. So he helped his father-in-law, he helped his wife, he helped his extended new family in Midian. We need to resolve this problem. We need to make it stop. We need to make it easier to help others help us. Whether that means the little things like please and thank you, or something that I know has gone out of style over the last few years because of the internet, but in my family people know about this, is the thank you note. Sometimes, at the very least, don't make people regret having helped you. This is how you help them help you. This is, to put it in a different language, the power of being a mekabel. The power of being the receiver, a good recipient of a gift. This is something that we have to work on, and because this is the true sense in which to receive is another way of giving. And when we learn this, we make it easier for Moshe Rabbeinu to help us, and ultimately, as is understood, we make it easier for the last Redeemer of the Jewish people, for Mashiach to come, when we show that we are willing to receive Hashem's blessings without spitting them back, and to say, thank you, Modim Anachnu Lach. Take care.